This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Headline from overseas via CNBC. Hong Kong's new leader has work cut out for him. Here are some of his priorities. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill, and Andrew Collier, who's traveling. He is the managing director of Orient Capital Research. To comment not only on John Lee's work cut out for him, good heavens, after the turmoil in Hong Kong these last years under Carrie Lam. This is an inadequate description of the future of the appointed leader of Hong Kong, but to speak in general of the financial worth of Hong Kong now to the international investing community. Gordon, I flag that as an understanding that is somewhere between Xi's visit most recently and John Lee's bow to Xi on a stage that was presented to us as two men who are now leading Hong Kong. What is the confidence in financing out of Hong Kong, Gordon? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Right now, there is a somewhat of concern that Hong Kong will remain an international financial center. People are worried about the rule of law there. People are worried about China allowing Hong Kong to maintain its international connections. But Hong Kong has always been a vibrant city, so this will be interesting to watch as John Lee, the new chief executive of Hong Kong, navigates between Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, and what the people in Hong Kong want.
Andy, a good day to you. What is the general mood about Hong Kong right now after the visit of Xi Jinping, which was notable in that Xi does not travel outside of his compound in Beijing since the pandemic? And this was to mark 25 years since the handover from Great Britain to the People's Republic of China. So what is the general mood of the banking and finance sector in Hong Kong? Good day to you, Andy.
Good day. Well, there's a certain small group of people who believe that, you know, safety is the key issue and the protests. But a lot of people, that includes both expatriates and also locals, are not happy with the increasing intrusion of mainland into Hong Kong. And certainly Xi's visit is kind of a triumphal role of the political system into Hong Kong. So nobody's particularly happy with it, but it really depends on how John Lee handles his own new appointment as chief executive.
Gordon, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, John Lee, as the chief executive, will have to deal with local bread and butter issue concerns. And it seems that one of them is housing, the shortage of it. Housing, of course, has always been a problem that has plagued chief executives of Hong Kong and before that, governors of Hong Kong. How do you see John Lee handling the housing shortage?
Well, that's the real key question. I mean, nobody can defend the way Hong Kong, either under the Brits or under the Hong Kong regime, handled housing. It was terrible. People living in cage homes, and even my rent, when I'm wandering around the United States, I'm shocked at how much more I'm paying in Hong Kong compared to, you know, places in the U.S. However, in order to improve housing, you've basically got to destroy the political elite who are all tied up in the property industry. And you also have to destroy some of the wealth for the upper middle class that owns these expensive flats that they paid a lot of money for. So I think he's going to have a real tough time re-engineering the economy to lower the cost of housing. But he's under a lot of pressure from Xi Jinping, because Xi Jinping's attitude is it's not democracy that caused the protests. It's actually just inequality.
Andy, the concern about housing is understandable. However, it is not easy to understand it if having never visited Hong Kong. You say that the housing stock is inadequate. My understanding is that over the years, it's the prices that have made Hong Kong very difficult for people to live. Is there any indication that the price of housing is moderating or declining, given the worldwide recession that is apparent, or the slowdown that is remarked upon?
Not really. I mean, there's a small decline in the upper end because expats are leaving due to this harsh quarantine. So a lot of that housing is being vacated. But overall, housing prices haven't dipped that much. And so in order to get the significant 10 or 20% declines that you need to make it affordable, you need to expand the supply. And right now, the supply food chain is not that large. They need to take a lot of the land that developers have in their control and throw it out to the market and start building housing. And I don't see any signs yet that they're doing that.
Gordon, you have a question.
Andy, a friend of mine went through the Hong Kong airport recently, a beautiful building, one of the most beautiful in the world. It was a ghost town. And of course, if we go back 2-3 years, it was one of the busiest airport hubs in the world. What is John Lee going to have to do in order to get that airport back up and running and again, a busy hub?
Gosh, that's a very good question. I mean, basically, the quarantines, which were as long as 3 weeks when you return from overseas, are now down to 1 week, have to be shortened even more to under 5 days or maybe even home quarantine. Expatriates who get up in the morning and then fly up to Singapore or to Europe to do business can't function in a system like that. So that's the main issue. The second issue is that some companies, the tech industry in particular, and some financial firms don't want to be in a place where they don't feel like their data is being protected from government intrusion. That's a smaller issue, but that is affecting some companies. But the main thing is basically the quarantines and the responses of the government to the financial system.
Gordon, you have a question for Andy about banking.
Andy, for the last several months, there have been scattered protests across China, but especially in Zhengzhou, the capital of Hunan province. They seem to have escalated recently. Just in general, what is the disagreement among protesters and the government over these banks?
Well, the banks need money, need capital, and the government has gotten tighter about capital because they're worried about a property bubble. So they've been reining in their lending practices. So the bank said, OK, well, we'll go out and we'll raise money from individual savers. But that's highly risky because they'll say something like, well, we'll give you 12% if we can borrow your money. And then all of a sudden they run into a problem. They can't return the money and they can't pay the 12%. So the government has been allowing this because, first of all, they're very slow to react at times. And second of all, it was a source of free cash. It wasn't government money. It was private money. But now the pigeons have come home to roost. And this is basically resurgence of shadow banking. And they're going to have to crack down on this. But that's going to destroy the capital of some of these smaller, less well-capitalized banks. So it's a tricky issue for the government right now.
Andy, there are anecdotes about the health code on people's iPhones being used in order to protect banks that are in arrears or cannot repay the money they've taken from individuals. A couple of stories have appeared recently about, say, a Chinese citizen who has $800,000 in a provincial bank on his way to confront the management, and his health code goes to red, meaning he has to report immediately to a concentration center of those who have been exposed to COVID. Have you heard similar stories? Do you know anyone who has had that happen to him or her?
I've read more than anecdotes. There are many stories like that. I mean, think of it this way. You're a local government official. You have all this data. You have this health code app. Why don't you use it? Nobody's stopping you. So anybody who's there was mass protest towards Beijing of a group of people who were protesting, I think, some financial problem, and their codes turned to red. I have friends living in Beijing, and one of them is just arrived in the United States after 2 years of lockups and said that he was worried about going outside of his home because if he showed up in a store where somebody else had COVID like that day, he might have to be whisked off to a health facility. So that's the problem with giving data to a government that doesn't have a lot of restraints. They tend to use it for whatever they want to use it, including political ends.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Andy, going back to Hong Kong for a moment, one of Xi Jinping's major initiatives is to integrate Hong Kong into the Great Pearl River Delta. Is that going well? And is this something that is popular among Hong Kong people?
No. The Greater Bay Area, as they call it, which, as you know, includes parts of southern China and Guangdong province and Hong Kong, is not popular among local residents because basically they know it's going to kill their incomes. Most people in Guangdong province in China are paid a lot less than those in Hong Kong. So the Greater Bay Area is an idea whose time has never come, essentially. So it's not popular, and I don't think it's going to do much except destroy the lifestyle that Hong Kong has managed to achieve. But the government in Beijing likes to use it because it sounds good on paper.
Odds, Andy, it's fun to measure odds. John Lee, has he got better than a 50-50 chance of being successful in convincing the people of Hong Kong that he's a credible leader, or are we going into Carrie Lam 2 here?
He's probably more efficient than the last chief executive, because Carrie Lam was basically sort of a school teacher who got thrust into that position. He will not be, John Lee will not be popular among the majority of Hong Kong residents, because he's an ex-police chief who's going to rely on security controls. Maybe 30% of the population will support him, maybe 20%, but it's not going to be 50-50 in my view.
Andrew Collier, the managing director of Orient Capital Research, he's traveling. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.